Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Life Lessons debut show. I'm your host, Terri Ann Cormier, and I am just thrilled to bits to be able to be here with you today. I am a true lover and embracer of life, a mother of two beautiful babes, Jatina, my 10-year-old diva, and Orlando, my 5-year-old crystal baby, married to a wonderful man, Sebastian. And I have lived through many hard-wrenching lessons and many thought-provoking lessons. Life Lessons is all about sharing stories and insights on the different lessons in life that we are all so blessed to learn. Each episode will have a different topic, and we will be inviting guests on the show from all over North America to chat about their stories and real-life lessons. My goal for the show is to share with you tools that I have and others have in their life toolbox that you can then make your own and use them in your own life. So I thought about the first show and how I'd like to see it roll out, and I had all sorts of ideas for what our first topic would be in a life lesson show. And it really came down to my life. And out of all the dramas and traumas I've endured, the main lesson, the lesson that propelled me to learn other lessons, the lesson that allowed me to truly heal inside and out, was forgiveness. A quote by Eleanor Roosevelt states, "Learn from the mistakes of others. You can't live long enough to make them all yourself." And boy, is that true. I want you to ponder that for a moment. Learn from the mistakes of others. We all have so many lessons we've learned. I believe it's our greatest gift to share that with others, so they don't need to go through the pain like we did. Now, forgiveness is defined by Wikipedia, and God knows I love Wikipedia, is typically defined as the process of concluding resentment, indignation, or anger as a result of a perceived offense, difference, or mistake, or ceasing to demand punishment or restitution. The Oxford English Dictionary defines forgiveness as to grant free pardon, and to give up claim on account of an offense or debt. Forgiveness does battle with our sense of justice, our sense of right and wrong. If we forgive something awful, are we somehow condoning it? Beyond that, forgiveness involves emotions, anger, and resentment. Such passions of the heart don't always follow directions from the head, even the well-meant ones. And finally, as the second definition suggests, forgiveness can sometimes involve money or property, which is almost always a danger zone. One of the greatest things about marriage is that it gives you plenty of opportunities to practice forgiveness. Well, in my case, it does. My definition of forgiveness is simple: to go deep within yourself, your vulnerable self, inhale love and exhale light to the person or persons who have hurt you. Now, I'm sure some of you listening, that sounds like a bunch of hocus pocus, and maybe it is, but it does work. See, the thing is, forgiveness is not saying that what the person or persons or company or yourself, it's not saying that what they did was right. It's saying that you no longer hold space within yourself for that anger. You're saying that you love you more than the anger or frustration you have for them. A great analogy I have for this is, you know, remember back when you were 4 or 5 years old, we were all there, and you fell down. And when you looked down at your knee, all you saw were scrapes and bruises. You ran to your mom, your dad, your big sister, your aunt, and you wanted a darn Band-Aid, because that Band-Aid was going to make it all better. Without the Band-Aid, your cut might get worse. Maybe it'll get infected. Maybe it'll be swollen. Maybe other bad things could happen to it, like falling again and re-scraping that open wound. Well, forgiveness is like that. When you hold on to hatred and all of your emotions that are intertwined with not forgiving, you're allowing an open wound to be shown to the world. You're allowing that feeling of being vulnerable to overtake you. See, forgiveness is not for them. It's not for the other side. Forgiveness is all about you. It is for you. I think Gandhi said it best, the weak can never forgive. Forgiveness is the attribute of the strong. You see, it takes a really strong person to forgive someone. And there are all sorts of situations that arise that demand forgiveness. Small things and really big things. Really big things. The small things might be somebody didn't pay you back $100 or that person who cut you off at the stop sign. Or maybe it was, you know, your child and they colored on their walls. Those are small. The really big things, car accidents from a drunk driver, death, divorce, child abuse, and so many other heartbreaking events that I honestly wish never occurred in our world and in our society. But they do. And if we held on to each and every one, they win. I want you to hear me say that again. They win. You don't win. By not forgiving, you're not winning. They're winning. They not only take us on that day, they take us for the rest of our lives. They own a part of our souls. Because there is no place for love in a soul that is consumed with anger or hatred. To make room for this love, you must forgive, but never forget. So I get that there are some of you listening saying, you know, she doesn't understand what he did to me or what they did to me. And my answer to you is, while I may not know your specific situation, and maybe I've never been in the same place, I have had to forgive before. And I want to share with you a story of my life, a little glimmer, if you will, about the person who is hosting the show today. When I was about 4.5 years old, it was a typical Friday evening. My father was getting ready to go out, have a few beers, play cards with the boys. And this was normal in my house. This was a typical Friday evening. As my father was walking out the door and the little chain lock was put through and locked, the absolutely most horrifying feeling came over my body. At 4.5 years old, I felt an emotion that until this day, I still cannot explain. It was like someone was standing behind me, screaming at me to tell him not to go. But there was no one there. I stuck my chubby little cheeks between the door and the door frame and yelled, "Daddy, Daddy." Now, if you knew my father, he was the best. Charming, handsome, and oh, did he ever love his little girl, Carrie-Anne. He got down to my level, looked me in the eye and said, "Yes, Carrie-Anne." I yelled, "Daddy, don't go. Don't die." Now, it's even surreal for me to say this out loud today. It's not a story I share with most. You see, I knew somehow that I needed to keep my father home. I knew somehow he wasn't going to come back. Now, call it spirits, call it God, call it the angels talking to me. I'll never know, and I don't have a good explanation for what happened that day. But it happened, and it's something that I've never forgotten. Well, a 4.5-year-old doesn't have much pull when it comes to an adult wanting to go out for the night. He laughed it off, told me he'd see me soon, and that was the last time I ever saw my father, June 9th, 1989. That evening, my father never made it to the card game. You see, he took a U-turn, and he went to visit his father, my grandfather, instead. From what I get from information from the family, because of course I was 4.5, there was drinking involved, an argument occurred, and there was an incident where my father was shot by my grandfather. I remember so vividly waking very early in the morning. Maybe it was 3, 4 a.m. and my mother, my aunt, and my grandmother were crying so intensely, so angrily, and they were so upset. I remember walking up to my aunt. She was sitting on the couch, and her hands were just in her face, and she was crying. And I remember walking up asking what happened. And she told me it was the cake. They all had belly aches from the cake. And off to bed I was sent. Now, weeks passed. I was sent to family friend's house, and I honestly have no clue how many days, weeks passed until the news was actually given to me, because I was 4 and a half. You know, days seemed like weeks. But I was given the news that my father was never coming back. And it was because of my grandfather. I spent years being angry about this. The scary kind of angry. I held it all in. To the outside world, I was fine. Everything that should have been done was done. I was sent to counseling and all of those things. The right things were done. But I was angry. I was angry at God. He took my father. I was angry at my grandfather. He shot my father. And I was angry at me for not stopping my father from going out. I was a pretty little girl who could talk the ear off the best of them, and I was fine. But on the inside, I was a mess. It wasn't until I was about 10 or 11 that I realized that the anger was getting the best of me. My grandfather was dying. He had 3 different types of cancer, and as I watched the man who killed my father, who I had always looked at as so strong, fall prey to this disease, lose enormous amounts of weight, and just look weak, I realized that at that moment, I too had fell victim to my disease of anger and hatred. I was so mad for so long that I didn't even know what love felt like up close. Can you imagine that? 10 or 11 years old, and I didn't know what love felt like. I was receiving love, but I wasn't allowing it to come in. I was conflicted with the idea that this man deserved to die. But he was my grandfather. And being that young, I had like a love-hate relationship for him. I was angry at him for taking my dad. I was angry at me for not stopping my dad that night. If only I had tried harder, he never would have left that night. These are words I said to myself on a regular basis. Now remember, I'm 10 or 11. That's 5 years of my childhood that I spent wondering, what if? What if this? What if I cried harder? Maybe Denny would have stayed. What if? As my grandfather's life deteriorated, I made the decision to forgive him. I forgave him for me. I did not forgive him for him. And I forgave him for my father. I didn't want to feel this pain anymore. I still missed my father. And by no means was saying that my grandfather did what he did was okay. I would never forget the life my father led, the person he was. But I didn't want the only memory that continued to bounce in my head was his death. And I did this at the age of 10. Age has nothing to do with it. It is the will to survive and move on from the pain. A quote by Catherine Ponder states, "When you hold resentment toward another, you are bound to that person or condition by an emotional link that is stronger than steel." Steel. Forgiveness is the only way to dissolve that link and get free. I didn't want that piece of steel to bind me to my grandfather anymore. He was dying because it was his time, but I still needed to live, to remember the man that once was here, my father. Now, I also want to share with you the reverse to why people do not forgive and why, for a very small amount of time, that actually can work in their favor. Some reading I did in Psychology Today, which is an online website. Sometimes we need to hold on to the very thing that prevents us from forgiving in order to cope and survive anger. Anger can be a powerful motivator, especially for those who have been victimized. Anger can help us rise above the victimization and to fight our way back from the most devastating of traumas. For example, research shows that female victims of rape who allowed themselves to express their rage about being raped were able to recover from the trauma much better than those who never got angry. It is often anger that motivates the victim to continue facing the pain. But we all know that anger like this can't last. For if you were to hold on to anger, resentment for a long time, your spirit would be eroded. It is a means to an end. It is a healing mechanism for a thief that allows someone who has endured the worst pain thinkable to heal by releasing their fears, their anger, and their resentment. Knowing that we are all so diverse in our belief systems, I wanted to share insight on a few different belief systems that are out there. People come from all walks of life. Some are Christian, some are Buddhist, Jewish. Some people consider themselves to be more of a spiritual religion and not an organized one like the others mentioned. Some don't believe in anything. Take Christianity. In Christianity, Colossians 3:13, it says, "Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you." Jesus died on the cross to remove our sins. And in Matthew 18:21-22, then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times." Basically, the Bible is saying that you must forgive. But let's face it, forgiveness is not easy. In Buddhism, forgiveness is seen as a practice to prevent harmful thoughts from causing havoc on one's mental well-being. Buddhism recognizes that feelings of hatred and ill will leave a lasting effect on our mind karma. Instead, Buddhism encourages the cultivation of thoughts that leave a wholesome effect. In contemplating the law of karma, we realize that it is not a matter of seeking revenge, but of practicing metta and forgiveness. For the victimizer is truly the most unfortunate of all. Buddhists believe that if we haven't forgiven, we keep creating an identity around our pain, and that is what is reborn. That is what suffers. Basically, by not forgiving, you're allowing the pain to remain within your own karma. You're saying that this pain defines me. It defines who I am and who I will be in the future. It defines your future relationship, your future career. It defines the way that you treat your children. It defines the way that you hold your head when you walk down the street. So as you can see, there are so many different takes on forgiveness in religion and spirituality. And of course, in your own belief system. Ask yourself, have I forgiven lately? Have I asked to be forgiven? Because it goes both ways. There isn't anybody listening and there isn't anybody in this world today that hasn't made a mistake and hasn't asked for forgiveness. Now, studies show that there are actual benefits of forgiving, that forgiving have a direct impact on our physical and mental health. Huh, who would have thought? So some benefits are having healthier relationships. You know, maybe you were in a bad relationship before. Maybe your ex abused you physically, mentally, emotionally. Maybe you were cheated on. If you don't let the forgiveness in, if you don't forgive what happened in your past relationship, that may define your future relationship. You may forever make your next mate pay for the mistakes that your past partner did. Another benefit is greater spiritual and psychological well-being. Well, that's what we've talked about for this show. It frees space within your mind. You know, have you ever been really angry at somebody and haven't seen them for a long time, and then the first time you see them at the mall or at the banquet, these emotions just overtake you. That has a psychological effect on you. Maybe you go into hot sweats. Maybe you start shaking. Maybe you stammer. Maybe you're stuttering. All because you haven't let that go. So they still are binded to you. That piece of steel we spoke about earlier, they're still connected. You're still allowing them to define your present and future life. Another benefit is less anxiety, stress, hostility. You know, a child who's beaten their whole life, they have two choices at the end of that road. They can either allow that to define them, or they can allow that to change the choices that they will make for their future. They can either be hostile, they can either choose to be that same person with their children, or they can choose to be different. Another benefit, lower blood pressure. To walk around with hatred in your heart, it causes so much stress. Stress induces high blood pressure. Fewer symptoms of depression and lower risk of alcohol and substance abuse. When you're hurt by someone you love and trust, you might become angry, sad, or confused. And if you dwell on hurtful events or situations, these grudges filled with resentment, vengeance, and hostility, they'll take root. If you allow negative feelings to crowd out the positive feelings, you might find yourself swallowed up by your own bitterness or sense of injustice. Now, I'm a big believer in Louise Hay and sort of the law of attraction with Esther Hicks and Jerry Hicks, and I believe that what you think of expands. And if all you think of is vengeance and hostility, that becomes your world. I believe we all have a right to live a healthy and loving life. We all deserve it. It has nothing to do with your age, your demographic. It has nothing to do with where you come from. It doesn't even have anything to do with maybe who you were 6 months ago, 10 years ago. Maybe you were the person who people needed to forgive before. That doesn't change the fact that you deserve a healthy and loving life. My belief is that it's an impossible feat if you are holding on to hatred in your heart. You cannot live a healthy and loving life if you have hatred in your heart. I think to set yourself on the path of healing, you first need to forgive. Forgive yourself. Forgive others. And send love in and light out. And know this too shall pass. Consider the value of forgiveness and its importance in your life at this given time. Reflect on the facts of the situation, how you've reacted, and how this combination has affected your life, your health, and your well-being. Not theirs, yours. When you're ready, actively choose to forgive the person who's offended you. Move away from your role as a victim and release the control and power that person and situation have had on your life. You know, I truly thank you all for tuning in today. And hopefully I've given you some insight into the benefit of forgiveness. I challenge you all to look within yourself. If there is a situation from your past that has gone unforgiven, and if this situation or event that's taken too much of your soul space? And you ready to let it go? Go for it. You're going to feel better once you do. Join me again next week, same time, same place, and we'll be discussing more true stories and insights on life lessons. I hope you're having a great week, and I hope you have an even better great weekend. Thanks again.